RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, today in history, focus, and news in brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Muslim and Gidi in Tolikara reconciled through Pavon traditional way. Sport minister optimist on Kemerdekaan uncamped. Police examined 37 people in Tolikara case. Now the news in detail. Indonesian religious leaders botch Muslim and evangelical charges in Indonesia, or Gidi make fees in the yard of local military command, Karubaga City, Tolikara, on Wednesday, July 22, 2015. According to Tolikara regent Usman Wanimbo, peace is characterized by the typical central Papua mountainous region and indigenous tribes' shaking of hands. The peace ceremony began with an apology for the incident that occurred in Tolikara by the chairman of the Gidi Tolikara, Nayus Winda, and Gidi Tolikara Secretary Martin Jingga. Dennis was greeted by one Muslim leader, Ali Mukhtar, who requested other Muslims in the area of Papua or Indonesian region not to make any disturbing statements. According to Usman, the institute has conducted reconciliation healing around 12 p.m. that same day. From the peace ceremony, the two sides agreed to apologize to each other and agreed to develop the region and secure Tolikara together. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Iman Nahrawi expressed his optimism on Wednesday that Kemerdekaan Cup will kick off according to plan on August 1st. He claimed that the transition team is currently making technical preparation. Minister Imam said that his team has met with the Cup's referees. However, he said that he has not received any detailed information on the number of participants and preparation updates. He also asked other parties not to obstruct the government. Despite Minister Iman's optimism, the Indonesian Professional Sport Association BOPI claimed to have not received data from verification. BOPI verification chief Iman Suroso emphasized that verification is essential for the Cup to proceed legally. National Police Head of a Criminal Investigation Commissioner General Budi Waseso said on Thursday that his side had increased the number of witnesses examined in relation to the unrest in Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua. He said that all of the witnesses were allegedly associated with the incidents of violence that occurred on the morning of Idul Fitri. A group of people believed to be members of the Evangelical Church of Indonesia, or Gidi, went to Baitul Mustaqim Mosque in Tolikara when Muslims were performing Idul Fitri prayer on Friday. They protested the use of a loudspeaker during the prayer, stating that it was disturbing an event their church was holding at the same time. According to Chairman of the Communion of Evangelical Churches and Institution Indonesia, Roni Mandan, there was chaos after police officers fired shots at them, which led to the torching of kiosks. Flames from this fire spread to the Islamic House of Prayer once it was known that a person had been shot down. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. A program is to start developing 10,000 hectares of irrigation rice fields in Maroke. The project is one form of infrastructure development for Papua and West Papua. The development of 10,000 hectares of rice fields in Morocco is the word program of the Minister of Agriculture expected to be completed later this year. Indonesia Minister of Public Works and Public Housing, Hadi Mulyo Basuki, admitted before the plan of developing 10,000 hectares of rice fields in Morocco, the ministry has built on storage in transmigration settlements. With the 10,000 hectares of new rice fields program in Morocco, long storage building will be directed to irrigate the future new rice fields. In addition to building long storage, Minister Basuki said that this site will also connect the Trans-Papua National Road. He targets the connection to be completed in 2018. Chairman of East Java Chapter of Indonesian Coffee Farmers, Bambang Sri, said Mount Rance eruption has affected hundreds of hectares of community coffee plantations in Sumberwaringin District, Bondowoso Regency, East Java. He also said it is now entering main harvest season for the Robusta coffee. There are more than 1,000 hectares of coffee plantations in Sumberwaringin now entering harvest season. Mount Rance volcanic ash cover Sumberwaringin Community Coffee Plantation covering their leaves with grey ash. In Sumberwaringin District, Bambang said there are thousands of Robusta coffee plantations and a few dozen Arabica coffee. He said that Arabica coffee has been harvested. Now it is decision for Robusta harvest. Bambang cannot detail the total areas that are directly affected and the potential loss shouldered by the farmers. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo admitted current value of rupiah has been below the market price when compared with the currency major trading partners. According to Agus, the condition is good for the sake of Indonesian competitiveness, but it must be accompanied by improvements in infrastructure and realization of investment interests. By doing so, the export can be improved even when commodity prices had dropped. The rupiah was traded on Wednesday at 30,365 per US dollar. Bank Indonesian Senior Deputy Governor Mirza Adiaswara said the rupiah undervalue has happened for quite a long time. He said rupiah has been affected by the Fed's monetary normalization policy in 2013. However, Mirza said fundamentally from within the country, the rupiah has strengthened with the improvement of current account. The rupiah is still depressed by the strengthening exchange rate of the dollar against currencies worldwide. State-owned oil company PT Pertamina would carry out a market trial for Pertalite distribution in Jakarta, Bandung, and Surabaya on Friday 24th. During the trial period, Pertamina will distribute 824-ton Pertalite to 103 gas stations. Pertalite could be an alternative RON 90 fuel at a price below Pertamax. In the past week of sale, Pertamina targets to sell 500,000 liters each day. Pertamina spokesperson Wianda Pusponegor on Wednesday 22nd said that Pertamina has begun to fill out the tank at some gas stations.
Jadi uji cobanya memang seperti kemarin sudah di ada beberapa informasi.
Like the information that has given before, we hope that the market trial is on this week. We have a target. Nowadays we have begun to fill out the tank at some gas station. So when we carry out the market trial, the volume of Pertalite is ready. On market trial, Wianda said Pertamina will provide 8-ton Pertalite for each gas station. She added Pertamina will not provide Pertalite in large amounts because it's still a market test. If the public get positive response, Pertamina will increase the volume of Pertalite. With the Pertalite, Pertamina hopes people can get a better quality fuel at reachable price. The last item, Indonesian Commission on Child Protection, KPAI, urges Indonesian people to express gesture of affection to children to celebrate the National Children's Day, which will take place on July 23, 2015. Therefore, in the commemoration of National Children's Day 2015, KPAI took the team together realizing Indonesia friendly to child so that the child protection can be provided by all levels of society. That was stated by Chairman of Indonesian Commission on Child Protection, KPAI, Asroron Niam Soleh, in a dialogue with RRI World Service in Jakarta on Wednesday night. This year, KPAI is concerned with the theme together realizing Indonesia friendly to child. That means the responsibility of child protection implementation is charged not only to the government, but this also will be our responsibility in particular to parents, families, and then communities, government and state as well, in accordance with respective proportion. According to Asrorun Niam Soleh, parents should be able to give the affection to all Indonesian children, both biological children, the children who have in limitation of social and economy as well as the limitation in legal process, so that it can be ensured that these children will have a better future. Besides, Asrorun Niam Soleh invites Indonesian people to visit orphanages, schools, boarding schools, safe house, prisons and refugee camps to express awareness and empathy to children, because greeting, entertaining, embarrassing and crushing them will be able to generate the optimism and happiness to the children. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, our commentary today entitled The Case of Tolikara is a Test of Indonesian Diversity. The attack against residents who were following Idul Fitri worship as the great day of Muslims in Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua in July 17, 2015 has become a hot topic by many parties including mass media. The incident will remind Indonesian people of miserable event of religious conflict in Maluku in the early days of the reform era. Therefore, Indonesian government responded immediately by taking measures for the settlement of the case, both legal and social aspects. During his visit to Tolikara, National Police Chief General Baturin Haiti also made sure to conduct legal proceedings against all those involved in the attack, burning and shootings that did not comply with procedures. The diversity owned by Indonesian nation indeed opens the possibility of collision and friction between one party and another one. However, the tragedy that occurred on last Friday surprised many parties. Since long time ago, Papua, which is well known as a region with a very strong population, has maintained interreligious harmony. Naturally, there was an allegation of certain parties that triggered such a sensitive issue. Unfortunately, some communities in Indonesia were provoked. In turn, they did destructive actions that blemish the good name of Papuan residents in a specific and Indonesian nation in general. Indonesia has a lot of potential, such as natural resources and strategic position, and a huge global product market. Thus, Indonesia can be considered as a threat or even as a source of profit. The issue of ethnic background, religious, social religion, race and intersection has become a concern of Indonesian founding fathers. Unsurprisingly, the emblem of the Republic of Indonesia is attached a motto, Unity in Diversity, which means it's different but still one. This motto is believed to be effective as a unifier and complete prevention. Because of many differences, these are becoming huge capital to build the nation. The case of Tolikara can be seen as a test of the resilience of the Indonesian people to keep harmony in the midst of diversity. After all, humans are born to be different tribes and nation-states. The rejection of diversity might make Indonesian nation to be faced with devastation. Of course, this should go into a common understanding of the world community. So, in the context of international relations, the aspects that should be put forward are mutually respecting attitude and respecting the sovereignty of other countries. Based on this, it is expected to grow synergy among countries in order to create mutual prosperity. Listener, that was our commentary today, read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Listener, it's nice to meet you again with me, Mana Rahmana, in our regular Today in History over Early World Service Voice of Indonesia. We start for an event on July 23, 1952, when Farouk I of Egypt was overthrown. Farouk I of Egypt was the 10th ruler from the Muhammad Ali dynasty and the last king of Egypt and the Sudan, succeeding his father, Fuad I of Egypt, in 1936. His full title was His Majesty Farouk I, by the grace of God, King of Egypt and Sudan, suffering of Nubia, of Kordofan, and of Darfur. He was overthrown in the Egyptian Revolution in 1952 and forced to abdicate in favor of his infant son, Ahmed Fuad, who succeeded him as a Fuad II of Egypt. He died in exile in Italy. His sister princess, Fawzia Fuad, was the first wife and queen consort of the Shah of Iran, Muhammad Reza Pahlavi. The next event was in 2001 when People Assembly, NPR, anonymously voted to impeach former President Abdurrahman Wahid alias Gus Dur. Then he was replaced by Megawati. The reign of Abdurrahman Wahid started on 20th of October 1999 when leading Abdurrahman Wahid often created a policy that made the House of Representatives DPR was not satisfied with his administration. On November 2000, 151 members of the House signed the impeachment petition towards Gus Dur. On July 20, Amin Rais stated that a special session was held on 23rd of July. Then Gus Dur declared the decree, which contained three comments: dissolution of NPR, DPR, returning to the hands of the people's sovereignty by speeding up election within 1 year, phrasing Golkar as a front of resistance to the special session. However, the decree did not obtain the support, and on July 23rd, the assembly formally impeached Wahid and Megawati Soekarnoputri replaced Gus Dur as a president. The last event was in 2011 when two high-speed trains traveling on Yonsei-Wan railway line collided. On 23rd of July 2011, two high-speed trains traveling on the Yonsei-Wan railway line collided on a viaduct in the suburb of Wenzhou, Xinjiang Province, China. The two trains derailed each other and four cars fell off the viaduct. 32 people were killed and at least 192 were injured. 12 of them were severe injuries. Officials responding to the accident by hastily concluding rescue operation and ordering the burial of the derailed cars. These actions elicited strong criticism from Chinese media and online communities. In response, the government issued directives to restrict media coverage, which was met with limited compliance, even on state-owned networks. Listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
Listener, our focus today entitled Figures of Interreligion and the Government Held a Meeting. It's nice to be at you again in our program Focus through Early World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. The theme of Focus today is that figures of interreligion and the government of Indonesia held a meeting. Some figures of interreligion and government officials and security officers from a number of regions held a meeting to address incidents that occurred in Tolikara, Papua. In the meeting taking place at the meeting room of Kodant, 7th Wirabuana, South Sulawesi on Tuesday, they agreed that the diversity of Indonesian society is a gift that must be maintained. The chief of Islamic boarding school in Makassar, Ustaz Asnawi Marjuni, in the meeting said that in Al-Quran, the God created human beings who are different from one another. He said that human beings have to get to know each other and establish communication because many things can be explained through communication. Fortunately, some pastors representing Unity Church Wijaya Indonesia from South Sulawesi and West Sulawesi are expecting peace and harmony that had been established so far. On Monday night, dozens of activists and interreligious leaders in Jombanis Chapel also got together within the community of Jagat Iron Betak Sudiyatmo leadership. In the meeting, they stated Indonesia can stand upright because of its diversity. Coordinating Minister for Political Law and Security Tejo Edi Purjiatno said that President Joko Widodo has instructed the security forces and government officials to address the incident in Tolikara not to spread to other areas. Meanwhile, most of the victims of the Friday incident last week in Tolikara, who previously fled in front of the headquarters Koramil Tolikara, have returned to their homes. Religious leader in Tolikara, Ali Mukhtar, said there are about 200 people who are still displaced. The residents of the stall and their houses were burned on 17th of July. That he had seen the old office of regions, which is planned for relocation camps. As part of the reconciliation process, ground beacon of semi-permanent construction has also carried out in the pilot musalla at Koramil. Tolikara Regent Usman Wanimbo said now the musalla has been built so that Muslim brothers can do worship again. He said religious tolerance in Papua has been pretty good. Hun Minister Cahyokumolo said the small point of this incident must be immediately removed. He said, let's build the spirit of tolerance and mutual cooperation. Regional Military Commander of Cendrawasi, Major General Francen Siaan, said to get back normal the situation in Tolikara, he said will open sun guard posts at a number of locations. This is done in anticipation of the pressure from outside Tolikara people who can potentially disturb the peace of the area. He added that the checkpoint is temporary. This step is aimed at maintaining the situation to be conducive. Listener, that was our focus today. Read by Rahmana.
Listener, here is the headlines from several national newspapers published today, July 23, 2015. Compass, in its headlines, writes, program should not be hampered. Local government need not to be afraid in taking decision. President Joko Widodo said that law enforcement and corruption eradication are inevitable in a nation. However, the effort in enforcing law and eradicating corruption should support the national development. Therefore, the law enforcement is expected not to make the local government and businessmen afraid of innovating so that the development can run smoothly. In this case, the leaders in law enforcement, including attorney leaders, must accompany the government in accelerating the national development. Even they must be able to help the bureaucrat in developing innovation and creativity in development. Meanwhile, Tempo Edit's headlines writes, Jokowi asked Tolikara to be restored. President Jokowi instructed all related ministers and heads of law enforcers institution to focus in creating tolerance after the incident on last Friday in Tolikara Regency, Papua. The president also will have a dialogue with religious figures and people of Papua. After halal bihalal in the presidential office on Wednesday, July 22nd, Jokowi summoned some ministers and institution heads to specifically discuss the Tolikara incident. Among them are Coordinating Minister for Political, Legal and Security Affairs Tejo Edi Pujianto, Home Affairs Minister Cahyokumolo, National Police Chief General Badrodin Haiti, TNI Commander General Gatot Nurmayanto, Head of National Intelligence Agency Sutioso, and Religious Affairs Minister Lukman Hakim Syaifuddin. President also instructed the law enforcement to be solved and the broken facilities in Tolikara to be rebuilt. Therefore, Jokowi gave 1 billion rupiah aid. Media Indonesia writes law enforcement is not for extortion. President Joko Widodo asked all law enforcers, including the attorney, to enforce the law for the sake of the people, support the development program, and create healthy investment climate. it is not the time anymore for the law enforcement used to extort. Jokowi, in his speech on the commemoration of the 55th Bhakti Adhyaksha Day in the Attorney General Office, emphasized that the corruption eradication and law enforcement must be for people and development program. He asked the Adhyaksha Corps to join developing good business environment and help the government in developing innovation and creativity in development. President also pushed the Attorney General to enforce the law which fulfill people's justice and be the front line in preventing and eradicating corruption. According to him, the instruction can be implemented if the attorney has finished reforming itself. Reformation must also be implemented by other law enforcer. Attorney General M. Prasetyo committed in helping government's development programs by forming teams in every level of attorney. Their duty is providing legal opinion on what can be done or not, including legal assistance. We end today's headline with Business Indonesia newspaper. Idul Fitri inflation is controlled. Bank Indonesia projected the inflation flow in Ramadan and Eid this year, reaching 0.46% to 0.6% or lower if compared to the price increase during the same momentum last year or 2014 and 2013. Bank Indonesia Governor Agus Martowardoyo said on July 5, 2015, the inflation was observed to be on the 0.4 level. Previously, the monthly inflation on June 2015 or the beginning of fasting month was 0.54%. Financial Minister Bambang PS Brojonegoro believed that the price control by the government was a success. According to him, the regular and aggressive market operation last month can suppress the price and lower down the inflation. Listener, that was the headlines of National Newspaper published in Jakarta, 23rd July 2015.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief read by Rahmana. Indonesian religious leaders, both Muslim and evangelical churches in Indonesia or Kidi, made peace in the heart of the local military command, Karubaga City, Tolikara, on Wednesday 22nd of July 2015. According to Tolikara region, Usman Wanimbo, peace is characterized by the typical central Papuan mountainous region and indigenous tribes shaking hand of hands. Indonesian Youth and Sports Minister Imam Nahrawi expressed his optimism on Wednesday, July 22nd, that Kemerdekaan Cup will kick off according to plan on August 1st. National Police Head of Criminal Investigation Commissioner General Budi Waseso said on Thursday that his side had increased the number of witnesses examined in relation to the unrest in Karubaga, Tolikara, Papua. A program is to start developing 10,000 hectares of irrigation rice fields in Merauke. The project is one form of infrastructure development for Papua and West Papua. Chairman of East Java Chapter of Indonesian Coffee Farmers, Bambang Sri, said Mount Rance eruption also affected hundreds of hectares of community coffee plantations in Sumberwaringin District, Bondowoso Regency, East Java. Governor of Bank Indonesia Agus Martowardoyo admitted current value of rupiah has been below the market price when compared with the currency's major trading partners. State-owned oil company PT Pertamina would carry out a market trial for fertilizer distribution in Jakarta, Bandung, and Surabaya on Friday 24th of July 2015. Indonesian Commission on Child Protection (KPAI) urged Indonesian people to express gesture of affection to children to celebrate the National Children's Day, which will take place on July 23, 2015. Therefore, in the commemoration of National Children's Day 2015, KPAI took the team to get a license Indonesian friendly to child so that the child protection can be provided by all levels of society. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention three tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is coming to Indonesia.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we'll invite you to visit Wonogiri Regency, Central Java Province. So stay tuned. Dear listener, Wonogiri is one of the districts in Central Java Province. It is located in the southeastern part of Central Java Province, which directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean in the south, so Wonogiri has some interesting beaches to serve recreational destination. Moreover, due to geographical conditions that is located in limestone hills, the Regency also has larger karst area in the world. With its specialty, lots of interesting and beautiful tourist sites can be visited in Wonogiri. Now we invite you to visit one of the beautiful sites in Wonogiri, namely Joglo Hill. Listener, for those who love extreme sports such as hang gliding and paragliding, you can drive to the Joglo Hill, which is situated on a hilly Sendang village. To get to the Sendang village is quite easy. From Wonogiri town, you can take a bus or public transportation of Wonogiri Prachimantoro or Wonogiri Manyaran and stop at camping ground near the area of Gajah Mungku Reservoir. But to get to the top of the Joglo Hill, it is a little bit difficult. if you do not have your own vehicle because there is no public transportation to take you there. Going to the peak of Joglo Hill, you will pass through the narrow, winding, and steep roads. Joglo Hill has about 650 meters high from sea level. Before it is known in wider community, Joglo Hill is not an exceptional hill. Like other hills in Wonogiri, just crowned by thicket, but the hill then transformed into a heaven for many people. Since the 90s, almost every year it is held national championship of hang gliding. The geographical situation and the weather there is very support the sport. Joglo Hill changed into the category of runway paragliding and hang gliding with international quality, and therefore not be surprised if a lot of people who call the hill as a paradise for paragliding lovers. Here, a hang gliding or paragliding flyer who took off from the top of the hill can be satisfied to fly many hours on the air. Listener, while flying on the air, hang gliding and paragliding flyers can enjoy the natural beauty around the hill. Actually, from the top of the Joglo Hill, you can see natural beauty of surrounding area. From the distance, you can see a blue thousand mountain range that seems no end. From the height of the hill, you can also look far across the reservoir, which was built during the new order called Gajah Mungkur. When a sunny day, you can enjoy the forest in the west that stretches to the limit of your horizon. Far on the eastern side, there stands proudly a beautiful Mount Lawu. Listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topics Joglo Hill. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. In today's edition, we present you the National Children's Day. Stay tuned. Child is the most priceless treasure for every family. However, recently many bad things have happened to children. Sexual abuse and torture are two things that often happen to children in many parts of the world. The recent case in Indonesia is about an 8-year-old girl who was tortured and murdered by her foster mother.
Angeline, that's a beautiful girl who has been taken care of her foster mother since she was one day old in Bali. Although the case is still investigated, police has named suspect of the murder. The Indonesian Child Protection Commission always accompanied Angeline's parents who got hysterical on their daughter's death. Besides Angeline's case, there are many other cases with children as the victims. Apparently, children in Indonesia who are the next generation should struggle harder to live a proper life. To recall good and happy memories for the Indonesian children, the National Children's Day becomes the awakening milestone of Indonesian children to have a proper life. No more sexual abuse, torture, and rape. On the occasion of the National Children's Day, which falls on July 23rd, almost every school in Indonesia holds various competitions to sharpen children's creativity. East Java provincial government held various kinds of competitions for kindergarten students. It was excitedly welcomed by Kediri and Probolinggo local governments. The competitions included solo singing contest, storytelling contest, folding, cutting and sticking contest, fun bike contest, plated educational toys creation contest for kindergarten teachers, and drawing contest from basic pattern for kindergarten teachers. The winners represented Kediri and Probolinggo Regency to join the National Children's Day competition for East Java provincial level, which was held on June 3rd to 4th, 2015 in Surabaya. Besides East Java, Indragiri Hulu Regency, Riau Province, held various events to celebrate the National Children's Day. Women Empowerment, Child Protection and Planned Family Agency, as well as the Indonesian Kindergarten Teachers Association, held various activities including coloring competition for kindergarten students and mass gymnastic participated in by parents, kindergarten teachers, acting chairwoman of Women Empowerment, Child Protection and Planned Family Agency, Fanny Darius and Antarash. The event involved 460 students from 9 kindergartens in Lirik District, Indragiri, Hulu Regency. On the occasion, Fanny Darius also invited all people in Indragiri Hulu, especially parents, to keep paying attention to children in every aspect, such as general education, religious education, health, and many others, to create the next healthy generation with good attitude, intelligence, and creativity. Happy National Children's Day for all children in Indonesia. Hopefully, there is no more bad thing happening to the children. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on the National Children's Day. I'm Hernita. Thank you for listening.
We'll meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listeners of RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia. Welcome back to Music Corner, a special program which introduces you to Indonesian music, both traditional and modern ones. In today's edition, we'll introduce you a band called Serial Band from Tegal, Central Java Province. Well, listener, let's listen to the song entitled Berjanjilah. Happy listening. Tegal, as maritime city, is actually not only famous for its culinary of yangkyut satay and the pochi tea with waskitel or wangi or fragrant, segar or French, legi or sweet, and kental or lampe. The coastal city in Central Java has the seeds of potential in music, such as Serial Band. The band consisted of Ju, the bassist, Arinal and Fian, the guitarist, and keyboardist, Yoki, the drummer, and Dewa, the vocalist. They met for the first time at a festival in the former Pekalongan residency and agreed to set up Serial Band on June 17, 2009. The strongest influence of Serial Band is Coldplay, an influence on the Serial album entitled Tak Terlupakan. Well, listener, let's listen to the next song entitled Tak Terlupakan by Serial Band. Happy listening.
Terbelenggu rasa kecewa atas semua sikap yang telah kau beri. Dulu kau selalu berkata jangan pernah tinggalkan aku, tapi kini kau telah pergi tinggalkanku. Ku coba tuh lupakan semua kisah kita yang pernah terjadi. Sanggup lakukan semua itu. Dulu kau selalu berkata jangan pernah lukai aku, tapi kini kau lukai hatiku. Kisah kita yang pernah terjadi, namun aku tak sanggup lakukan semua itu.
You've just listened to the song from Serial Band, Tak Terlupakan. Listener, Deva, the vocalist, said that the inclusion of Chris Martin and Franz Kahler in the music of Serial Band as a realistic option to redeem the national music industry. They chose pop music genre and not let too much influence than several bands selected Coldplay in order not to lose their identity. Regarding the matter of idealism, Deva said that each person have their own preferences. Deva himself admitted more like the color of Japanese rock. However, idealism of each person have melted into one musical style, namely pop genre. That is the vision and mission of Serial Band. Well, listener, to conclude our program for today, let's listen to the last two songs, entitled Biarkan Ku Menangis and Hanya Dirimu. Happy listening and sampai jumpa.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id, or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 1-0011 Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.